The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 12, 1989 at New Talavan Farm in Carriera, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 41 and 42.
Jambate kukshigata parapuman Angsena sakshad bhagavan bhavayana Mabhud bhoyam bhojapate mamusho Gopta yadhunam bhavita tavatmaja O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, with all His plenary portions such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son Krishna will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the words Parapuman Angsena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastras, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Thus the demigods assure Devaki, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is appearing with Baladeva, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity toward the Lord, and thus be killed by him. Text 42. Sri Suka Uvacha Ityabhishtuya Purushang Yadrupam Manidam Yata Brahmesano Purodhaya Deva Pratyayo Divam. Translation. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods, with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them, return to their homes in the heavenly planets. Purport. It is said, Adyapiha Chaitanya Esab Lila Kore Jar Bhagye Thake Se Dekaye Nirantore. Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya 23, verse 513. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously like the waves of a river or an ocean. There is no limit to the Lord's incarnations, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. The devatas, the demigods, fortunately understand the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they offered their prayers. Then Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma led the demigods in returning to their homes. The word kukshigata, meaning within the womb of Devaki, has been discussed by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary. Since it was said at first that Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki, Sri Jiva Goswami writes, how is it that Krishna was now in the womb? He replies that there is no contradiction. From the heart the Lord can go to the womb, or from the womb he can go to the heart. Indeed, he can go or stay anywhere, as confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita 5.35. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastang govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. The Lord can stay wherever he likes. Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of her former life, now had the opportunity to seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nandana. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. Om Tat Sat. So, also today is disappearance of which transcendental personalities? Raghunath.
We're just coming up before the sacred month of Damodar. The Damodar month is a special opportunity to increase in one's devotional service, because whatever devotional service is done, one gets 100 times the benefit. But during that month and just prior to it, many transcendental festivals are there, and many great devotees have disappeared or appeared during these times. Raghunath Das Goswami, his life is very well documented because he's a very colorful personality. He was the son of a landlord who was one of the richest landlords in Bengal. But in spite of having all material opulence, unlimited material wealth at his disposal, he was simply attached to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like anything. But his parents and uncle used all their royal influence and army to tie him down and capture him. Then he did the Panihati festival, Chiradohi, chipped rice festival, which New Panihati celebrates every year, as well as Old Panihati in Bengal. He got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then, after some time, he could escape and reach Jagannath Puri. There he was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and given under the charge of Sarup Damodar, and thus he became the assistant secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was used to a luxurious lifestyle, he became very austere, and initially he was getting donations from his father, so he used that to provide prasadam for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then when he could understand that Lord Chaitanya wasn't so happy with that, then he started to take a more renounced lifestyle. Just standing in front of the door of Jagannath Temple, he'd take whatever Mahaprasad the pilgrims would give him. Then he thought that that wasn't good, so he became more austere and used to take the Mahaprasad they would throw out. But then he found that many dogs and other animals would eat the Mahaprasad that they'd throw out, and so they felt bad that he was depriving them of their mercy. So he would let the animals eat it first, and then whatever was left after the animals ate it, the rotten, some chunk of rice was there all rotten on the outside, and he would take that, break it open in the center, a little good piece would be there, he'd eat that. He became he became the personification of Vairagya. He said, nobody can be as renounced as Raghunath Das. He became so renounced that it's like you cannot even begin to imagine or imitate. Of course, simultaneously, he was always directly serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are different devotees at different qualities. Sanatana and Rupa Goswami were renowned for being the most humble. Ramananda Rai for being totally undisturbed by any sense gratification. Raghunath Das for renunciation. So, of course, later Raghunath Das went to Vrindavan and was serving in association with the other five of the six Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatana. Krishnadas Kaviraj considered himself initiated by Lord Nityananda, but he accepted Rupa and Raghunath Das as his instructing spiritual masters. So throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he always refers to Rupa Raghunath Pade, that one who has taken the shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. So of course he found that in his family life there was not a very suitable association. His brother had become very offensive to Lord Nityananda. So he didn't want to live where there was offenses to the Vaishnavas or to the Lord. So then he left that place on the order of Nityananda, who appeared in his dream and ordered to go to Vrindavan. Because Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream when he was at that place, he constructed a temple to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. He considered Lord Nityananda had actually come there. And to this day, there's a temple to Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, one of the places he visited. And the temple of Krishnadas Kaviraj is still there. The Krishnadas Kavirajas was very old, rather, and he could hardly write or hardly see. But still, somehow, although he was so old, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the notes that he had gathered from Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, who had all the information from Sarup Damodar. So specifically, the details of all the later life was gathered. He didn't repeat the earlier life, which was already recorded by Vrindavan Das Thakur, except some details that were not there. Otherwise, he just would refer to the original teachings, not trying to duplicate an already done effort. So Gopal, so this is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, also was in Vrindavan, one of the six Goswamis. I know less about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. I don't know if anyone knows something about his activities, but he was especially favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also took shelter in Vrindavan. So today is the day that they left the world, went back to the spiritual sky. The great devotees are in the world. They're serving the Lord in transcendental devotional service. They're already in the pastimes of the Lord. The six Goswamis, they were practically seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were practically seeing and constantly feeling the presence of Radha and Krishna. So though they were in this world by external vision, actually they're already in the transcendental world. And their disappearance means that their visible connection with this world is cut, but they were already connected with the spiritual world, and so that connection simply remains. So it's one hand it's a rejoicing, because when anyone returns to the spiritual world, that's also very happy rejoicing, cause of rejoicing. But on the other hand, in this world we don't get their association. So we didn't have so much opportunity to associate, or any opportunity to directly associate with the six Goswamis or other eternal associates. We're very fortunate to have had the association of Srila Prabhupada, who brought the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And according to the previous acharyas, one who is preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also considered a confidential servitor. Srila Prabhupada was a Nitya Siddha devotee who came down specifically to spread the Sankirtan movement. And his teachings are not only explanations of the scripture, but they're also prescriptions for the people of the present age. Just like a doctor comes. When I was in the hospital, I'd go for days without a doctor coming. Sometime I would get upset. Then I'd hear the doctor would come, look at my record and give some instruction. Okay, take him off intravenous, put him on this, put him, whatever. So the doctor was overseeing, giving some prescription, and sometime the doctor would come and see everything, and then he would give some specific instruction. So Lord Chaitanya had given the general instruction to chant Hare Krishna, to read the Bhagavatam, etc., etc. And then Srila Prabhupada, he gave specific instruction how that could be applied today in the 20th century. Srila Prabhupada wasn't a fanatic. He was the most expert spiritual physician who knew what we needed to become Krishna conscious. He gave us the prescription to go back home, back to Godhead. That if we follow his prescription, he guaranteed we could return to him. Now, if we do follow, there's not much to worry about. If we don't follow strictly, then there's a lot to be concerned about. Now, if people strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions, like go to Mangalarti, chant japa with the devotees, and take Krishna prasadam from the temple, 10 Bhagavatam class, and Guru Puja, and if they're labeled as fanatics, I don't care what you label them, they're Prabhupada's faithful followers who are trying to follow the instructions he gave to go back to Prabhupada. There may be some people who are not losing sleep over getting back with Srila Prabhupada. You know, I can just frankly tell you, as a person who was just, you know, didn't know whether I'd be living or not, I only had two concerns. Either that if I died, I'd get back to Srila Prabhupada, and that if I lived, that I could continue to serve Prabhupada in his life. And I don't see there's any other priority in my life or any other purpose to any disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we do, what other purpose do we have than to serve Krishna, to serve Srila Prabhupada in this life or in the next? Now Krishna personally came down out of his causeless mercy to give us an opportunity to know him, to serve him. Lord Chaitanya came down with the same purpose and to bring everybody into the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came just like the six Goswamis and other great previous acharyas. He came with a special purpose of spreading this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to people who normally didn't have the chance to get it. Here in the West, we were rotting in a dark pool of sense gratification. We didn't have any idea about spiritual life, didn't have any idea about Vedic culture, didn't have any idea about who we are, who is Krishna, or anything. We thought we were the body. We thought serving this body was the goal of life. And we were just rotating in the cycle of birth and death. But Srila Prabhupada, out of his causeless mercy, brought to us this entire spiritual link with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave us the Bhagavatam, gave us spiritual communities, gave us countless gifts, and gave us prescriptions how we can remain in constant connection with him. Now, the more that we remain connected, the more we can feel the presence of Prabhupada and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this movement. Just as this verse that Prabhupada referred to, Adyapiha Chaitanya Esab Lila Kore Jar Bhagye Thake Se Dekaye Nirantore. Adyapiha means today, right now, at the present time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still performing these pastimes. And those who have good fortune, Jar Bhagye Thake Se Dekaye Nirantare, they're able to see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nirantar. Nir means without, and antar means end, without cessation. They can see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are continuing even today. The only reason his pastimes don't end, our ability to realize them, to experience them, to be part of them, that can end. Why? We can lose our good fortune. Because if we have good fortune, then we'll experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. If we lose our good fortune, or we don't have it, we didn't get it, then we don't know. We don't experience his pastimes. So we have to be very careful. Prabhupada, once someone asked the Prabhupada, I didn't have any spiritual qualification. I don't see that I was doing any pious activities before I became your disciple. So how is it that I'm even a devotee? I don't understand. I didn't cross over any of the Vedic regulative processes or anything. So how is it that I have all this good fortune? As Srila Prabhupada said, I have made your good fortune. I have given you your good fortune. All of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, his grand disciples, the devotees taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, certainly they're receiving, they received, and they'll continue to receive the good fortune from Srila Prabhupada as long as we follow his instructions. Prabhupada said, those who follow my instructions, they live with me. What other connection can we maintain? We can maintain sentimental connection. That is fanaticism. That is fanaticism. To remain sentimentally attached, but we don't actually follow. That's called lip service. Sentimentalism. Fanaticism. That's where the whole world is going on. The Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Hindus, they're fanatics because they don't follow the scriptures. Many of them are fanatics when they don't follow the scriptures, but they say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Jew. Now we're going to have fanatical Hare Krishnas. Who is a fanatic? The purple who consider themselves Hare Krishnas but don't follow the instructions of Prabhupada. They're the real fanatics. Because Prabhupada defined fanaticism as sentiment without knowledge, without practice. The people who practice Prabhupada's instructions, they're not fanatics. They're followers. They're the people that are getting the full mercy of Prabhupada. Others are getting some mercy in proportion to how much we're able to follow. When I see devotees who are so nicely following, I am not so expert in following due to one reason or another, I consider that they are more fortunate than me. They're following so nicely. If I could only become a better follower of Srila Prabhupada, then I would be more pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And I could hope to get even more mercy from Srila Prabhupada. We should be very clear about what the Krishna Conscious Movement is. these six Goswamis, they were so great because they were realistic. They were humble. They had all good qualities. They would see a small defect in themselves and they would feel very ashamed. They would see defects that if any other person saw, they wouldn't see that that's a defect. But they were so determined to try to please Lord Chaitanya that even a little bit of what they considered a feature that was not pleasing to Lord Chaitanya, they would become very concerned. So Raghunath Das, he's feeding Lord Chaitanya with the money from his father. But then what is the need of Lord Chaitanya? So many devotees who are there to feed him. And Raghunath Das taking the renounced order, why should he take money from his parents and then give it to Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya, he thought that this, you know, is enough's enough. It was better for the grihasthas to feed Lord Chaitanya, and for those in the renounced order, they should do their other, they have other duties. There are different duties for grihasthas, for sannyasis, for people in renounced order. So he was taking from his parents, and although he's in the renounced order, he's giving Lord Chaitanya's meal. So after a while, Lord Chaitanya thought that it's kind of a funny situation. But he didn't say anything directly, just through hints and through indications, and Raghunath Das, he could pick up that this is not very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya. Immediately he gave it up. And I contribute that money to Jagannath or to some other fund. He didn't use it for that purpose anymore. So that is actually the mood of pure devotees, is that they're simply trying to know what's going to be pleasing to the Lord. So Prabhupada, he didn't leave us in any dark, didn't leave us in the dark or leave us in any kind of bewilderment as far as what's pleasing to him. Everybody in the whole world knows what's pleasing to Prabhupada, because in no uncertain terms did he tell us that he wants us to follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, and attend spiritual programs, to associate with devotees, to engage in the Sankirtan movement, to preserve what he's given us and try to develop it. He's given his instructions in his books and his lectures and to individuals in his letters. Because of the 20th century, we have Prabhupada's lectures taped. We have his letters microfilmed. We have all of his books published. You know, can you imagine if we had that for the six Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya, everything on all of Lord Chaitanya's talks on tape. The only thing we failed to do is we really failed to videotape all of Prabhupada's lectures. At that time, it wasn't so common. We have a few videos. You know, now it's like the video age. If we had, you know, now we could have every discussion videoed, but that's unfortunate. We didn't take advantage. It was a new thing at that time. You can imagine how wonderful it would be to have photos and videos of Lord Chaitanya, six Goswamis. And the Lord's desire, that he came before we got into that level of materialistic technology. Probably, you know, we can see how technology has complicated life. So when Lord Chaitanya came, life was still simple. It was still much closer to the Vedic, at least in India, it was much closer to the Vedic culture. It was still Vedic culture. Varnashram was very prominent. You know, now it's a different story. It's a different situation. So the six Goswamis, they taught that we should use, however, whatever we have in Krishna's service, whatever will help us in furthering the cause of Krishna. Yena, tena, prakarena, Krishna, mana, nivosate. Whatever will encourage a person to become more attached to Krishna, that is actually good. That is very beneficial. Here in these verses of the Bhagavatam, the devatas, the great demigods, they're telling Mother Devaki that you're very fortunate because Krishna is present in you. So that is very good for Devaki. He has Krishna within her. That's very good for the universe because Krishna is present in the universe. And although Kamsa, he could be a devotee, but instead he, through his own desire, he's become an enemy of Krishna. So he's decided by being inimical to Krishna to be killed by Krishna. He decided to kill Krishna. Since you cannot kill Krishna, that's a decision to be killed by Krishna. That's also in an unusual kind of way to his benefit, and that he'll receive liberation. But it's much more beneficial to be a devotee of the Lord. So the devatas, they can see that when Krishna is present, it's all fortunate. And then they offered their prayers, and they returned back to their respected homes in the higher planet. It's interesting, at the purport, the previous acharyas in Prabhupada, they give in the purport that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously. There's no limit, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. And they use that Lord Chaitanya is still present. That actually, the devatas are saying that you're very fortunate because Krishna is in your womb. So don't worry. A lot of times devotees get apprehensive, they get afraid, they wonder what's my future, what's the future of the world, what's going to happen. But just as the devatas told Devaki, don't be afraid, don't worry. Actually, these verses are telling us, don't worry, because Krishna is with us. Here the deities are present, Prabhupada is present, the Bhagavatam is present, and if we chant Hare Krishna congregationally, Hare Krishna, the Nama, Avatar is present. So what is the question of fear when the Lord is present? Fear should only be there when the Lord is not present. And when Krishna is present, there's no cause of fear. This is very interesting. I went ahead and read the next verse because the verse 40-41 had the word kukshi gata, but in the purport for 42, it gave the commentary on kukshi gata. So it's kind of interesting that text 42's commentary referred to verse 41. So then how are these two verses? And then in 42, it says, the Lord is always present. But in 41, the verse says that don't, it's your good fortune, ours. There's nothing to worry about because Krishna is present within you. Somehow because the two verses were very much connected in the purport, Prabhupada is saying here, referring to Lord Chaitanya, but the verse says that Krishna is present, so Devaki shouldn't worry. Because Devaki was worried naturally, she's in a prison house, her brother Kamsa is threatening to kill her child as soon as it's born. He can do anything, he's very demoniac. He could kill them, he tried to kill her once before. Certainly there was a sufficient cause for being afraid. However, the devatas are saying, Shiva, Brahma, and other demigods are saying, don't be afraid because Krishna is present. And then the purport Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya is present today for those who are fortunate enough to see. So sometimes you find devotees becoming fearful, apprehensive. Apparently in the material world there's a kind of middle-aged syndrome where people become afraid of something, of their future. Some kind, I think they call it the middle-aged syndrome, I'm not sure what some technical word for it. Where actually, here Prabhupada is telling us that there's no need to be afraid because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present. You find 40-year-old devotees who have been in the movement for 20 years, suddenly they become very concerned with getting a job, getting a house, getting this, getting that. They give up active devotional service because of fear. Prabhupada said fear is an animal principle due to not remembering Krishna, due to forgetfulness of Krishna. Animals have no consciousness of Krishna, they're always afraid. Human beings are also afraid until they become Krishna conscious. When we're Krishna conscious, then there's no cause of fear. Prabhupada's name is Abhoya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Abhoya means fearless. Charanaravinda, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Bhajahure manna srinandanandana bhoya charanaravindare. So by taking shelter of Sri Krishna, srinandanandana, or taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement, abhoya charanaravindare, there's no cause of any fear. Everybody wants to be fearless. So the surefire method of being fearless is to be in constant connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. So that connection, of course, is maintained because of our own... you see, when Lord Chaitanya was present, we could just run out in the Sankirtan party. Lord Chaitanya is still present, the Sankirtan party is still there, but you cannot see Lord Chaitanya except you can see him on the altar. So in order to get that association, you have to either come to the temple and see him on the altar, or run out in the Sankirtan party, Harinam. We have to still go out and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. Then we feel fearless. So Prabhupada knew that it was very difficult in the material world to survive. It's a hard struggle for existence. So he wanted to make it easier for devotees to have a simple living, high thinking, to simplify their lives so that they could give more time to being Krishna conscious. And by being Krishna conscious, all the fears, all the anxieties, all the problems in their life would be diminished to nothing. And the more that separated from that transcendental connection, naturally fears and problems start to increase. And the more we take material methods to solve them, then the more that it's like a syndrome, then we have to work harder and become more and more complicated then to solve that. So Prabhupada realized all this, that we had to keep our problems to the minimum by simplifying our life and by being as Krishna conscious as possible, by chanting and hearing and serving. So the six Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj, they're very merciful that they left many teachings behind them. They've written many books so that we can read these books. Prabhupada was very kind. He left his books behind so that we can read and hear the books. Bhagavata Nitya Sevaya was supposed to serve the devotees, Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat, every day for our purification. So in this way, we can also get directly the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. This is the real purpose of human life, to remain in transcendental consciousness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.